Hi, this is Pastor Marquez Ball of the Uplift Church in Laurel, Maryland. Listen, it is my prayer that this word is a blessing in your life. I pray that it's uplifting to your mind, uplifting to your heart, and uplifting to your spirit. Check us out online at upliftmd.com. God bless.
I was not here on last week. That was my first time not being at Uplift. That was interesting for me. I was given the opportunity to preach out at a church that really supported us when we launched, and so I kind of felt responsible to go back and kind of report to them how we're doing and how God is blessing here at Uplift Church. So it was my first time away from Uplift. Y'all, listen, I've prayed. I trust God. And I thank God for a phenomenal staff, but I was still being me. And I was just like, Lord, you know, I hope the lights are right, you know, the socket's right for the plug-in, the microphone. I knew the staff were just going to take care of it. But I'm certainly thankful for such a phenomenal staff. A lot of pastors are not able to do that, particularly with a new church. To be away, but we are blessed with a phenomenal praise team, a phenomenal AV team. I thank God for a phenomenal executive minister. He went out for just a second, our executive minister, Van Rawls. I certainly thank God for him and sharing the word on last Sunday. Amen. And praise and appreciate Minister Rawls as well. And then on this morning, we had an interesting time because normally I get here closer to about 9:30 and we do our setup, and I had the laptop for the projector. This morning, I was blessed to shadow a phenomenal pastor, phenomenal leader in Dr. David Anderson at Bridgeway Church. They've got thousands upon thousands of people there, but I was blessed to be able to get there at 7 a.m. Service starts at 8, and so I got to see a lot of stuff. And so he's really been a tremendous mentor for me. They're doing a phenomenal thing. He's probably the foremost leader as far as doing multicultural ministry. Absolutely phenomenal. So I'm certainly thankful for that opportunity. But so I was there from 7 a.m. till about 9:50. And so then I had to rush to get back to Uplift. And so I'm thankful for the staff for making it work. And service starts at 10:30 here at Uplift Church. I didn't know if they had started yet. I'm rushing in. Like, I hope things are going, but they were queued up and ready to go. And so can you do me a favor once again and appreciate the phenomenal staff at Uplift? Amen. Well, brothers and sisters, we are beginning actually a new series this week, which is called All In. We just finished the series Multiply. You saw a little bit of a clip for that. So we're loading up our new series bumper called All In. Multiply, we talked about what can happen when we trust God with our little, that God's math is not like our math. God's multiplication is not like our multiplication. He can take our little and make it so much more. We saw it in one example of a little boy trusting Jesus with his lunch. He took his two fish and five loaves of bread, and he multiplied it to the point that it was able to feed 5,000 people. So it deals with how it requires us to have some level of faith to trust God with our little and believe that God can make it much more. And there are so many testimonies in here where people can say, I've done that. I've seen God take my little and make it so much more. And I'm so thankful for it. So that was a blessed series. And so now we're beginning our new series called All In. I'm really looking forward to sharing it with you. Let me introduce it to you. Question is simply this. Are you now, or have you ever been restless in your spirit with a nagging sense that there has to be something more? I mean, it's just, God, this can't be it. There's got to be more. There's a song that our musician, our praise and worship leader sings that says, this can't be it. God is so much bigger than this. Have you ever had that point in your life where you just say, God, listen, the way things are going right now, I know this is not how you had for me to live. God, I know this ain't the marriage that you had. It wasn't supposed to be like this. God, I know I did not go to school and get student loans just to work here. There has to be something more. Have you ever had that point in your life where you have to say, God, there has to be something more? So doing this series, we look at the amazing story of Abraham, very ordinary man, and we begin an extraordinary journey with him and how he pursued God with his faith, and not knowing how all would work out, he decided to go all in. The question that you'll be having in this series is simply this: are you willing to go all in? Amen. And so today, brothers and sisters, I invite your attention to Genesis chapter number 12. Genesis chapter number 12. We're going to be reading verses 1 through 9. I know Orlando called. It's like, okay, when do I transition? Normally, I don't introduce the series this early on, so so thankful for her. So you can keep playing while we read it. But I know she waits for me to pray, and then she transitions. Genesis chapter number 12, if you have it in your Bible, your iPad, your iPhone, your Android galaxies, or whatever it is you may have, we invite you to stand. We stand to honor the reading of God's word, because God's words matter so much in our lives. Genesis chapter number 12, and I'll be reading from the New International Version. Here's what it says. The Lord has said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples in Laurel, in Maryland, in America, no, all peoples on earth won't just know you, but they will be blessed through you. So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife, Sarah, his nephew, Lot, and all the possessions they had accumulated and the people they had acquired in Haran. And they set out for the land of Canaan. They arrived there. Abram traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring, I will give this land. So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there, he went on toward the hills east of Bethel and pitched his tent. With Bethel on his west and Ai on his east, there he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Then Abram set out and continued toward the Negev. This is the word of God for the people of God, and the word of God is already blessed. Will you help me introduce this morning's sermon to your neighbor? Put a smile on your face. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor.
Neighbor.
Oh, neighbor. Oh, there we go. This morning's sermon is dive in. Look at another neighbor. Look at another neighbor. Neighbor.
Neighbor.
Oh, neighbor.
Oh, neighbor.
This morning's sermon is dive in. Amen, amen. You may be seated in the presence of God. Will you pray with me? Father, it's once again that I stand to proclaim your word. I pray, dear Lord, that I decrease and that you increase mightily. That these, your people, would see and hear less of me and more of thee. Take the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart and make them to be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our God, our strength and our Redeemer. Father, I have studied, but I need your strength. I have prepared, but I need your power. I'm willing and I want to, but I need you to make me able. Silently now, I'll wait for you. Ready, my Lord, thy will to see. Open my eyes and lift me to your divine. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Dive in. Here's a question. Do you have faith? Do you have faith? We sang a song earlier that says, I'll trust you. Another question would be, do you trust God? Do you have faith? Do you trust God? The immediate answer in your mind may have very well been yes. Why, of course, I have faith and I trust God. Oh, I believe God. Yes, I trust God. And it's easy to say and to think while we're here at church. It's easy to answer yes until you're asked to show it. It's easy to say I have faith until faith becomes something that you have to demonstrate. It's easy for everyone to say that, yes, I will take a leap of faith and believe that God will make a way out of no way until God speaks to you and tells you to do the unthinkable. Until God speaks to you and tell you to leave this or to open this or to give this or to do this. It's easy to have convenient faith. Faith can be convenient to you when your life isn't on the line. Faith can be convenient for you when your lifestyle is not on the line. But it's a risk of faith when God asks you to do something that's uncomfortable. Question is, do you have faith? Do you really trust God? My brothers and my sisters, I want to share with us how to truly have and then to demonstrate our faith. Let me see if I can put it to us a different way. There are a whole bunch of people, and you know some of them, who have the next great it. They have the next great thing. They've got the next great move. They know exactly what it is, and they talk about it all of the time. They are going to be the next great this. Oh, girl, I'm going to write a book. All of y'all, everybody in here knows somebody that's going to write a book. If it's you and you haven't written it yet, don't raise your hand. You know, all my life story. I'm going to write this book. And then you know what you do. You'll start. You'll get your computer out, and you'll type something like chapter number one. And you say, I'll come back to it. And so we begin stuff like that. The difference is this. Faith does not require us to approach it, but rather to finish it. Faith does not require us to simply think it, but to do it. How do we move from simply thinkers to become doers in that which God has called us to do? Faith is very easy until we have to show it. Let me see if I can paint my own picture. Y'all, when it came to planting Uplift Church, let me help you to understand this in a very real sense. Been in ministry 16 years. One thing I told God I did not want to do was to plant a church. Why? Because church planters have to be two things, called and crazy. And so I knew I was called. I was trying not to reveal how crazy I really was. And so I told God, I don't really want to do that. But when it came time to launch an Uplift Church, here's what I did. I began to talk to people 9 months before. Our executive minister, several others on the staff can tell you, this was my phrase to them. I said, listen, here's what I want to do. I want you to do me a favor. I want you to walk up on the edge of a cliff with me. I want us to look down and see all the dangers and still jump. With no guarantee of any kind of parachute, but simply to trust God that some kind of way God is going to rescue us. For me, it simply meant this. I'm leaving a paid position at a church to simply take an unpaid position to start a church. God, you called me to do this. There are so many people who know that God has called them to do something, and they stand on the edge of the cliff, but it's dangerous. God, I don't know how much. God, I got bills. And God, you know, my children got to eat. And so we never actually demonstrate our faith. There's a reason for that. And I'll help us to understand that. There's a little boy. He's in a swimming pool. And there is this high diving board. And his friends begin to challenge him. His friends say, like, I bet you won't dive. I bet you won't dive. I bet you won't climb up there and dive. And so the little boy, you know, he thought he had enough courage. He was called it crazy. And so he figured, you know what? I can do it. No, you won't. And so he climbs out of the pool, goes to the diving board, and he pictures it in his mind how his dive is going to be and how they're going to respond. He pictures that, and then he begins to climb. And then while he's climbing, neuroscientists say something kicks in called the lizard brain. the lizard brain. While he's climbing, his lizard brain says to him, if y'all want to look it up, it's called your basal ganglia. Pastor studied. It's called the basal ganglia. It's in all of our brains. While he's going up, his lizard brain begins to say to him, bro, what you doing? You know this is dangerous. You know this. You should probably stop now. This doesn't make it. He's just climbing up. This makes no sense. Then he gets onto the top of the diving board, and his lizard brain begins to scream. Stop! You're going to hurt yourself. Stop! This is dangerous. Stop! This is frightening. What are you doing? You shouldn't be up here. Many of us have that when God calls us to do something and we can see how it's going to look in the end and we get excited about that. But then when we start the journey of faith, our lizard brain, our basal ganglia begins to say to us, stop! Don't do that! Stop! Don't trust! Stop! Don't believe! Wait until God shows you exactly how it's going to work out. Many of us in life are standing on the diving board when God has given us a vision. God has given us a mission. God has given us our reason for being, but we are afraid. Hey, jump. Little boy sees the fear, and he still jumps. He dives in the pool. His friends, oh my God, I can't believe you did it. Check out what the little boy did next. He climbed out the pool, and he ran back to the diving pool, and he climbed back up. Many times, brothers and sisters, an act of faith simply requires us to trust God enough to jump when we can't see exactly how God is going to make it work. And in our text today, brothers and sisters, that's exactly what we see. We see a man who dared to dive in. Here it is. First of all, in the life of Abraham, we see that God gives the call. We see that God gives the call. In the first verse, it says this. The Lord said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to a land that I will show you. Abram, I want you to move from your comfortable position. I want you to leave what you are used to. I want you to leave what you grew up around. I want you to dare to take a leap of faith. Abram, go from your country. Why? Because I've got something more for you. My brothers and my sisters, all throughout the Bible, God continues to give a call. God called Moses when others would not have went. God called Jesus to do something that no one else could do. God called the disciples to do something that others would not have done, and they risked their life to do it. And the question is this, what is God calling you to do? God has created all of us with a reason for being. The question is this, are we so comfortable where we are that we dare not take a leap of faith? Do you trust God? Do you have faith? It's easy to answer yes until it's required of you. How many of us are standing on the diving board of life and God has called us to dive in, to be great, to do the unthinkable? But God, you know, my family gonna think I'm weird if I do that. God, my friends are gonna talk about me if I do that. God, I may not be able to keep my nice house if I do that. God, my children will think I'm crazy if I do that. My brothers and my sisters, the God that we serve is continually calling us to be and to do great things, but it simply requires us to have enough faith to say, God, I'm willing to go all in with you. Why will we go all in with God? Because God has a track record that says, when you trust me with your all, I can take your little and make it so much more. When you have enough faith to jump in and to dive in, while others cannot see me, I will show up and I will always rescue you. And they will say, child, how did you do that? We didn't think you could do it before. And you will say, I was standing on the diving board of life and I dared to trust God when I heard him calling me to be and to do something great. The question is simply this, my brothers and my sisters, do you have faith? Do you trust him? When God calls you to do something, are you willing to move? If you think about your own life, there's been so many times when God has told us to do something. You know, sometimes I heard this morning. We'll say something simple as this. If I knew the will of God, I would do it.
Oh, if God would just speak clearly to me his will, I would do it. Oh, if God would just show me exactly what he wanted for my life, I would do it. And here's how it was set up. He said, just check it out. If God lined up three brothers, for the sisters who are single, married women, y'all just keep looking straight, you already got yours. So for the sisters who are single, if God lined up three brothers for you, one brother who loved the Lord, oh, he loved the Lord with all his heart, with all his mind, his soul, and his strength. But he just didn't have a job. He was always in church. He was always praying. He could quote scripture backwards and forward. Just didn't have a job. Oh, God showed you this brother. Oh, he was tall and handsome like Pastor wants to be. And brother had all the money. Oh, he was squared away. I mean, you can picture the nice house, the nice car, somebody else cooking and cleaning. You ain't even got to do that. I mean, it's just perfect. He just. She heard. I believe God is just spoke to. Right? We can picture that. The only challenge is this: he doesn't love God. Then there's a third brother. Third brother, he goes to church sometimes. He got a job. I mean, it's not the best job. I mean, he got a Toyota Camry. He just, he's doing all right. It's a nice shit, but he's driving. Now, the only difference is this, though. He's all right looking. He's got a job. But you just, something ain't right. You don't know what it is. You just feel like, I feel like if I really date him, I might go missing. I just, And so your spidey senses go off. Here it is. God! If you were to speak to me, which one of these should I choose? God says the brother with no job. God, why are you not speaking to me? I just don't believe the Lord saying nothing to me. All right? Many of us are just like that. God has called us and commanded us to do great things. The challenge is sometimes we don't like what God has called us to do. Abram! Pack up everything that you have and leave everything that you are used to do something that's unfamiliar to you. Abram heard God give a call. My brothers and my sisters, think about your own life. What is it that God is calling you to do? What's that thing that you know God has put in your heart to do, but you've been so afraid of jumping because God never told you the blueprint as to how it was going to work out? And you know how you like, God, I need to know how everything's going to work out. God, I need to see beginning to end. Sometimes God would just shine enough light for us to take a single step. And my brothers and my sisters, God has commanded all of us to do something, and he may not show us the whole story. Here's why. If God were to show you the whole story, you know what you would say? God, I'm good. What? Right here works just fine. I'm fine being single. If that's what I got to go through, I'll be all right. Just like this. God, I'm fine at this job. If that's what I got to go through. The reality is sometimes God can't tell us everything because we would do nothing. He shows us just a little bit. We have to have enough faith to jump. God gives him the call. Then, brothers and sisters, we see this. God gives him the promise. I love this. I got to do a little bit of teaching here, so stay with me. Okay, in Genesis is a part of the Pentateuch. That's the first five books of the Bible. Scholars believe that Moses wrote it. Other scholars debate whether Moses was really the author of it or what have you. But many believe that, Moses was believed to be the author of the Pentateuch. And so when looking at the Pentateuch and trying to understand what then is the purpose for this book, you've got to look at the Pentateuch as a whole because there was a combined set. The Jewish scholars believe it was a combined set. Okay, so stay with me. Pentateuch is a combined set. So when you look at Genesis and the Pentateuch, the role that Genesis plays is this. It's to show us that things that happened in the past play a part in what's going to happen in the future. Things that happened in the past are a typology, if you will, of what's going to happen in the future. Let me get a little bit deeper. Here it is. In the past, you had Adam. Adam brought in a series of curses. Just before Abram's story, we have the Tower of Babel and God devising the people. You have the flood stories and things like this. You have a lot of series of curses. And then you get to Abraham. And God says, Abram, for 11 chapters in history, there's been curses. And I want to do something different with you. Abram, will you trust me enough to jump out and to dive in and to go all in? And here's what happens. If you do that, I promise to bless you. But in the Hebrew, it means this. I promise that your name will be a blessing. I promise that your life will be so great that people will always remember you. And here it is, my brothers and my sisters. Here's the shouting point. Genesis paints a picture for us, letting us know that things that happened in the past are very relevant to what's happening today. Here it is. For somebody sitting here right now, God has called you to do and to be great. And many of us are standing on the diving board of life. And God is simply saying this. If you would trust me and have enough faith to dive in, I will take things that used to be curtains in your life and I will turn them into blessings. I will change your family's trajectory. If you would dare to have enough faith to say, God, I will dive in. Why? Because the Bible paints a picture for us that simply says this, that if he did it before, he'll do it again. I love how God should put that thing. My brothers and my sisters, if you have enough faith in God, God can take what the devil meant for evil and turn that thing around to make it for good. And not just for you, Abram, when you trust me, your children, your grandchildren, your grandchildren's children will be blessed, and they will always remember one day my great-great-grandparents sitting on a diving board of life, and they heard God give them a call, and they dared to go all in with God. They dared to have enough faith and enough trust in God, and God promised them that he would bless them because of their faith. Do you have faith? Do you trust God? It's easy to say yes until you're required to go all in. It's easy to say yes until you are required to dive in. God says, Abram, I want you to leave. But when you leave, in Hebrew it says, not just that you will be blessed, but that your name will be a blessing. Abram, I want to do something in your life that history hasn't seen yet. Abram, I want to change the trajectory of history through you. Abram, I want to do through you what has not been done before. The question is this. Will you stand on the diving board of life and have a lizard brain? Will you say, well, God, I don't know what's out there. God, I've never left her. God, I don't know how it's going to work out. God, what happens if I fail? What happens if it doesn't work out? What now do I do? God, exactly where are you sending me to? And then once you send me there, how are we going? He never asked any of those questions. God simply said this, Abram, leave. And when you leave, I'll make your name a blessing. My brothers and my sisters, God is challenging so many of us in this room this morning to dare to dive in. And when you trust God, God's word says, I will make your name a blessing. I will bless you so much so that you have to be a blessing. That's a tremendous place to be in your life when you say, God, I want you to